Good evening. Tonight's message is called A Sure Word of Prophecy. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 16 to 21. Now we will see here in verses 16 to 18, we'll see that Peter brings forth that he was an eyewitness to the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was with the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. And let us always remember that the gospel of the grace of God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ alone is not a cunningly devised fable. It's not a fictitious story that someone is telling with no truth behind it. No. The gospel of salvation in and through Christ alone by the complete sin atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a fable. No, beloved, it is the truth. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, let's read verses 16 to 21. Remember that Peter is writing to the saints that are scattered abroad. And he's writing this to those who are the called out ones, the elect of God. And he says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Now note that the Father is well pleased with Christ because he is his beloved Son. He is the Word of God. He is God incarnate in the flesh. "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." So now we see Peter's giving us a location of when this occurred. And he's saying, this isn't a cunningly devised fable. This isn't a story about what happened. He's saying, I'm writing this as one of the eyewitnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ, as one of the eyewitnesses at the Mount of Transfiguration, of hearing the voice of God and saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so if God the Father is well pleased with Christ, then he's well pleased with all who are in Christ, isn't he? All praise be to God. What a precious, precious truth. Peter goes on to pen, again, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So here we see that these men, these chosen vessels of God, penned these words, but they were moved by who? By the Holy Ghost. He is the author of the Scriptures, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the author of the Scriptures. Very clear. Set forth very clear there. Now, a lot of people in our day, just like in the days of Peter, say that the Bible's a fable, say that these stories are just a bunch of fables. Well, we see, what does this show us? This shows us that what Solomon said is true, that there's nothing new under the sun. See, man has not changed. Man has not changed. Men still hate God in their natural state. And we were there as believers. We may not have outrightly said we hated God, but by our sinfulness and our actions, we were shaking our fist at our great God. But you know what? His love was being set upon his people even then, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. So the gospel of salvation in and through Christ alone by his perfect work is not a fable. No, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel, that there's salvation for sinners only in Christ, is true. And the gospel's all about he who is the way. There's only one way to heaven. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel's all about he who is the truth. Christ is the way and the truth. And the gospel's all about he who is the life. So we see our Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. And he tells us in John chapter 14 that no man cometh unto the Father but by him. He's God incarnate in the flesh. He's the Word of God, the second person of the Trinity. And Christ received glory and honor when the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." God the Father said that. Now Peter, James, and John were eyewitnesses to this. And not only were they eyewitnesses to the majesty of Christ, but they were ear witnesses to the Father's words, which came from heaven. And they heard this when they were with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. And take note, in these verses, we have a threefold witness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know from the Holy Scriptures in the Old Testament that the Word of God proclaims in Deuteronomy 19:15 that at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. For something to be counted as fact and not fiction, then it had to come at the mouth of two or three witnesses. It must be established based upon the principle of these witnesses. Now take note that Peter, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, brings this truth forth in establishing that the truth they proclaim is not a cunningly devised fable. It's not a story, but God himself gives witness to it. Notice in this text, as we read it again, that Peter will give us a threefold witness of the true gospel of God's grace in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Well, to prove to us that what we believe is not some story. It's not a cunningly devised fable. He's showing us that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is fact and not fiction. And God's people take God at his word, don't they? We believe what the scripture says. Now, unbelievers, they don't believe the word of God. They think it's of man's making. They don't know who the true author of this book is. They don't know who the true author of the Holy Scriptures are. Just look at yourself before the Lord saved you. Did you think the book was just written by men? I didn't really even understand. I didn't even really know anything about the authorship, except some men wrote books. But now I know who the true author is, God the Holy Spirit. Let's read verses 16 to 21 again of 2 Peter chapter 1. And we will see this threefold witness. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So we see then that the first witness is the witness of the Apostle Peter. And he brings forth that they were eyewitnesses of Christ's majesty. We see that in verse 60. Then we have the witness of the Father proclaimed in verse 17, where it says, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then third, we see the witnesses of the prophets, as Peter brings forth that we also have a more sure word of prophecy. The prophets spoke sure word of prophecy, which the prophets spoke. Verse 21 proclaims that the prophets spoke not of their own will. Look at this. "But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Now, beloved of God, we who are the born-again, blood-washed saints of God, we've been born again by the Holy Spirit of God. We've been taught by the Holy Spirit that the Lord Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for all his people. And we believe this. And the only reason we believe this is because we've been enlightened by God the Holy Spirit to see this truth. By God-given faith, we see the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are now delivered from the power of darkness. And we believe what the prophets of the Old Testament proclaimed. We believe now, being taught by God, that the Holy Spirit is the author of all the scriptures. And we believe, again, having been taught by the Holy Spirit of God, that the Old Testament prophets wrote about Christ. And as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that Christ fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies, and that the law and the prophets, they testified of him. So with that as our introduction to this lesson for tonight, let us look at our text again, where we see Peter declare, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Look at verse 19. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Now, Peter wasn't speaking lightly of what happened to himself and to James and John with the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. What he and the other two apostles witnessed could not have been anything but positive proof of the Lord Jesus Christ being the promised Messiah, and he was the eternal Son of God, and they were privileged to experience what occurred there. Listen to what Pastor Henry Mahan comments on the words of our text. He says, "We have a better foundation and a more sure evidence of Christ in the gospel than an eyewitness account of his glory. And that is the Old Testament scriptures and the New Testament revelation given by the Holy Spirit in Peter's day. A man's testimony is to be received only if it is according to the scripture. The word of God is the final test of every claim or creed. You do well to take heed of the scriptures and weigh every man's words accordingly. End quote. So with that in mind, let us then carefully consider the words of the Holy Scriptures that Brother Henry referred to. And let us consider the importance of these holy inspired words, which proclaim we have also a more sure word of prophecy. What does the Scriptures proclaim in the Old Testament? Well, in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, it says, "To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Then Paul pens in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, but which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." So the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures, they testify of Christ. What did the saints in Berea do? Beloved, they searched the Scriptures. The Scriptures declare they searched the Scriptures. The New Testament declares they searched the Scriptures. But what was that? No, that was the Old Testament they searched. And they searched it to see if these things were so. They didn't just take the preacher's word. No, they searched the Scriptures to see if it was so. And the Scriptures, beloved, are our final authority. The inerrant word of God is our final authority. And as believers, men may say what they want and how they feel, but we bow our knee to this. Thus saith the Lord. Listen to the words of the Master to the unbelieving Jews. He said to them in John 5:39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So our Lord clearly there proclaims his deity, proclaims that the Scriptures teach about him, proclaims that he is the Messiah. Now these Jews were very, very religious, and they were very devout, and they thought they had eternal life based upon their works, and who they were, their standing in society, and their standing in religion. But all they were doing, beloved, was basing their salvation on their own self-righteousness. They weren't basing their salvation on Christ. Not the Christ of God that is found on every page of the Holy Scriptures. And remember that our Lord was right before them when he said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Beloved, their doctrine was not according to God's word. No, they were teaching doctrine and commandments of man. Why? Because there was no light in them. Now, again, there's nothing new under the sun. Mankind has not changed in 6,000 years. There's nothing new under the sun. It's the same way even today. The majority of professing Christians in our generation claim to believe the Scriptures, and some of them spend a lot of time in the Word of God. But they are like the unbelieving Jews. Their thoughts of eternal life are based upon what they have done and what they do, not based upon what Christ has done. They don't believe that Christ died for a particular people. They don't believe that he laid down his life for his sheep. No, they proclaim that, oh, Christ died for everybody. No, he didn't. He died for his people. His Scriptures declare he came to save his people from their sins. And they're like the unbelieving Jews. Again, their thoughts of eternal life are based upon what they've done and not based upon what Christ has done. They don't believe that our Savior, through the offering of himself, sanctified and perfected forever those he died for, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 9 to 14. No, they don't believe that Jesus Christ by himself purged our sins, Hebrews 1:3. They don't believe that Jesus Christ was delivered for our offenses and he was raised again for our justification. They don't believe that our blessed Redeemer by his own blood entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. They don't believe that Jesus Christ not only has risen from the grave, but that he is seated on the throne in grace, and that we've been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ. No, there's multitudes of religious people who don't believe those things. Therefore, they don't believe that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. They don't believe that God the Father has given Jesus Christ power over all flesh and that he should give eternal life to his sheep, to those who were given to him by God the Father, even though this is plainly brought forth in John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28, and John chapter 17, verses 1 to 3. If they don't believe these things, well, then they don't believe the Scriptures, do they? They don't speak according to the word of God. Why? Well, because there's no light in them. They think they have eternal life, and yet they are just like these unbelieving Jews. God's born-again, blood-washed children don't think we have eternal life based upon anything that we do. No, we proclaim that God has been pleased to reveal his gospel truths to us. Why? Well, because we have a more sure word of prophecy. And there are some things that we know for sure. There's some things that every believer knows. And the only reason we know these things is because God has revealed them to us. The only thing that made me to differ from anyone else in my family who does not love Christ, in my friends, is God. If God hadn't saved me, I'd still be doing the same things I did back then. I'd still be loving the things that now I hate and hating the things that now I love. And it's so for you if you're a believer too. Don't ever forget the rock you were hewn from. Don't ever forget the pit that you were in and that God pulled you from. Don't ever, ever forget that. The great mercy and the great grace that God showed you in Christ. Now here's some things we know. Well, we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God in eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. We also know in 1 John 3:14, we know this. It says, we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. From death unto life, from being dead in trespasses and sins to being alive in Christ, born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And we can say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. You see, I'm not able. I'm not able to keep myself from falling. But I believe like Paul wrote, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day, 2 Timothy 1:12. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, we don't ever understand every situation that comes up in our lives. And there's some things that come into our lives that we just scratch our heads. But, beloved, the scripture declares that those things are happening for our good and for the glory of God. For them who are what? The called according to his purpose. See, God has a purpose. He's purposed to save the people from eternity. He chose them in Christ. He's loved them from eternity. And they're called according to his purpose. If you're saved, if you're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, if God saved you, marvel at this. And he called you according to his purpose. Isn't that incredible? It's absolutely amazing, isn't it? We know our sinfulness. We know our past. We know how much of sinners we are now. But God has called us according to his purpose. Hallelujah. He didn't leave us where we were, beloved. Praise be to God. Let's continue reading in 2 Peter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Now, note our text says, whereunto you do well, that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Here before us is an illustration given to God's people how we should lay the truths of Christ and the Holy Scriptures to our hearts. During the night hours, our homes are a dark place when all the lights are turned off, but for safety and comfort and enjoyment, we keep the lights burning before we go to bed. Now, when we were lost and dead in trespasses and sins, we had no assurance of safety as we were living and loving the darkness. We were living and loving the darkness that we were in. We had no comfort, no joy, no saving light from Christ, who is the light of life. Listen to our Master's words in John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8, 12. The scriptures are called a lamp unto our feet. In Psalm 119, 105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Beloved, Christ is the word of God. It is he who guides our feet as we walk on his ordained path for us in this world. We were sometimes darkness, but now are we light in the Lord, and we are to walk as children of the light, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. The Holy Scriptures will enlighten us as to how we're to walk before God and how we're to walk before the people of this world. And the reason why we are to walk is children of light. Our text says, you do well if you take heed. These words are a warning from God to us. We cannot possibly think that we're doing well if we neglect to study the Holy Scriptures. And we who are the people of God desire to grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We desire to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the prophecy concerning Christ's second coming is as a light. It is a revelation of that which was in the dark. This truth lay hid as a secret and a mystery in the heart of God, and it could not be known by man had it not been foretold by God. The scriptures proclaim that Christ will come again, and that he will come in great glory and in power to raise the dead and then to judge all of mankind. Everyone who's ever lived upon this earth will stand before the Lord, and the Lord will divide his sheep from the goats, and then he will judge the wicked, and they shall be cast into hell, where there be an everlasting torment forever. And then God's people, they get to go into glory, where there be everlasting joy, rejoicing over the one who washed us with his precious, precious blood, who redeemed our eternal souls. And we're just going to give him glory and honor and praise forever. And how do we know this is true? Because God said it. It's so. Christ, who is the light of his people, shall come, and he shall be the light of his people. And then will fall the everlasting day of glory, when all darkness will be gone, and the saints whom he has redeemed shall see him face to face. With that in our minds, let's read our text again, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, which declares, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Now notice that. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Now the day dawn here speaks of the last day. It has reference to the dawning of that last day, the day of the blessed return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day star is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read these words in Revelation 22:16. We'll close here. Where our Lord said, "I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Praise be to God for the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen and amen.